Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We are live from the big game.
That's right, the big game.
The big game. This I don't know if we can say what it is. Yes, we can, right?
I think I can, but you guys can.
Okay, will you tell us what we're live from? This is Dan Hanses from the podcast Around the NFL.
You can't say NFL.
Yes, I can, because that's what he's from. One of my dear friends from early on in my life, early on in my career, we've been friends maybe almost going on 20 years. Wow. Let's just round 15. Up to 20. 15.
All right, let's
15
go.
Years I've known this man, and he is the host of or Around the NFL. He's here for as our first guest today.
That's right. Hopefully one of many.
At Radio
You're not
Row.
Legally cleared for Around the NFL, so it's in the vicinity of football podcasts.
Dan Hanses. What's up, Dan?
Hi. So awesome to see you guys and Nikki. Yeah, we said it when you were on our podcast,
yeah,
a little home and home.
Yeah.
Full circle moment because we do go way back.
We go so far back because I was, Brian, to just catch you up with how I know Dan, I was a fan of Dan's best friend, Bob, because Bob, I loved Best Week Ever, that show on VH1.
Oh, of course.
When I was in college. Yes. And Bob did the VH1 blog for Best Week Ever. And
it's a big deal back then, having a blog like that. Yeah.
He was one of the biggest bloggers there were.
I remember that blog.
My Blog Is Poop he had as
my
well.
My Blog Is Poop was what he had. Wow. And so he put his AIM screen name on there. I put it on my buddy list just as like a college kid who was a fan of this writing of this guy.
Yeah.
And he only had a picture of himself from behind. And I was like, what does this guy look like? So one night I was drunk though and I saw him sign on and I IM'd him and I was like, hey, I'm a fan. And then we became friends. I was in Kansas. He was in New York. I finally went to New York to go visit. And I met him, and then I don't know if I met you on that trip, but then I met all of his friends, and you were one of those friends, and eventually Dan moved to LA when I was already there, friends with Bob and all these guys. And Bob ended up as the head writer on Not Safe, which, Brian, you worked on.
Oh, is that Bob?
Bob Castrone.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
That's my best friend
That's
since
his
1988.
Best friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he released a feature film.
Yes, Flock of Dudes.
Flock of Dudes.
Yep.
And Dan, I have a memory. Did you ever play Rock Band? That was like during the Rock Band days. We were like obsessed with
it. It was a very, if you were 20 something in the late aughts and you had the ability to purchase that and had the system, you played it all the time.
All of the time. Where? Why did we stop?
So dorky. I think everyone stopped when they realized like how ridiculous it was ultimately that you're holding fake instruments playing a video game. It's like, go learn real instruments, guys.
It dawned on everyone.
You're spending the amount of time that we were spending playing that game
because it's
we could have been in a real band.
No,
yeah, well, you could say that about any game. You could be like, why are you playing Call of Duty? Get a real gun, go to Iraq.
Well, the thing is, people always say that because I'm back into Guitar Hero, it's come back around.
Oh, it's back.
Remember when
it was at
what
a hotel
was the thing
lobby.
We used to say, you know, what's back.
What would we say? You know what's coming back?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
We would see, like, yep. Groovy Baby. Like, we would always bring back old thing. It's back.
It's back. It's back.
Rock Band, yeah. Guitar Hero, tempo-based games are back. My boyfriend got me Guitar Hero for Christmas because we just, it was in the lobby of a hotel that we were staying at.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun just playing one song. And so he got it for me for Christmas. We are legit addicted again. It is so fun.
Oh,
and I just
fun.
Don't, I can't believe it fell off. We've got all of the games.
War Pigs.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's
I'm learning all these
song.
New songs. Do you know what song I just learned through Guitar Hero 2008, whatever game this was, that I never was into at the time, but it's like my favorite song right now. I'm really embarrassed.
Blitzkrieg Bop.
No. Okay, you can get it. Okay, it was like, I'm just going to give it to you.
No, yeah.
Killing in the Name of.
Oh, oh Rage.
That song
Rage.
Come on.
Rules.
Yes.
It's so
are we able
good.
To use Rage Against Language the Machine on the show? Rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the fuck you can't do it, I won't do what you tell me song?
I won't do what you tell me. Because
that was
thing.
A great song to go like off to.
Yes.
And that I think, and you play guitar and you're an actual
yes.
musician.
Yeah.
Do you get a, do you get the similar rush when you would hit the chords in
a
the video game?
A better rush in the video game. You really do feel like you're in it. And you feel, and it will mute the sound if you miss the thing.
Yeah.
So well, you feel like you fuck like, up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll go, and you won't.
Humiliating.
So doing
classic
it,
Nikki Glaser sound effect.
It really feels good, and I love it, and I really recommend people getting back into it. I really want it to be so big again that they start making, you know, new Taylor
versions.
Swift.
New versions.
I want Taylor Swift Garage. Yeah. Or
you know,
Guitar Hero.
I was trying to be cool there, but the more I think about it, we were so into it, and there was camaraderie to it. Like there was,
yes!
we had the whole setup.
It's fun.
We had the drum kit,
yes!
two guitars, and the mic
and
with
the mic
stand. It was like, first of all, guys, nerds, hide this when other people are around.
No, it was
but
a party.
But when it would come out, we would have a good
it
time.
It was a party. Yeah. I remember Dan, you famously, and I have used this term for so long after it. In 2008, I want to say, I just become friends with Amy Schumer in the past year. Amy Schumer and I share a birthday. She was in town in LA during
yes.
our birthday. And the only place I knew to have a birthday party was the house that Dan
Post-show
lived
house.
In
yep.
with all these guys. It was they lived across the street from Lindsay Lohan during her
wow.
lesbian days.
Oh, those were the best days.
They,
the
it
greatest
was up
days.
On El Centro. If you're
El Contento and Drive.
El Contento.
Yes.
El Contento. Sorry. And it was so big. It was so nice. I still don't know anyone with a house this nice.
Yeah, I never got it.
I can't believe
my house
in our
now that I live in is probably a quarter of the size
it's,
of that.
It was so yeah. nice. And so you guys threw a party for me and Amy for our conjoined birthdays. We had so many people there. I remember, you know, Eric Andre was there.
Eric Andre has been to my house.
Yeah.
I didn't get to ask him about it,
oh,
though,
yeah,
when he was on
right.
the podcast.
The story was... We were having Eric Andre on the podcast, and Brian was like, oh, I've got a great Eric Andre story. I can't wait to
Amazing
have him
story.
On.
Yeah.
And I go, give me a little, like,
a
little
teaser,
a little spoiler. What happened? He's like, I'll just tell you the whole thing. I looked out my window one day down at the pool area. Eric Andre is down there. And I go, so what? And he goes, that's it. I go, well, you're
not
going to bring
story.
That up. He says, well, maybe there will be some context.
I wanted
what he
to
did.
Talk to him about it, see what his experience was, his perspective.
We got nothing with that. But I will say, this party was crazy. And
yeah.
the next day, I think people had to be kicked out. There was some fighting. There was just drunkenness.
Man.
There was puking. There was stuff like that. But the next day, Dan, for me, it was the first time I'd ever heard this term, and you know what I'm going to say, right?
I actually don't, so I'm
okay, well,
a little
finish,
nervous, but excited.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Nikki, you're friends with a lot of blank.
Shoot.
Starts with a J.
Jews.
Jabronis?
No, jabronis is your word, too, but not and not Jews.
Jabronis.
It is a creature that you would find in the Southwest, scavenging, running about.
Chupacabra?
That could start with a J. I don't know. No, jackals.
Oh, jackals. Oh, jackals is a big
it
term
was
we used.
The
yes.
perfect
that's a
word.
Fun. That's a fun
I yes. remember laughing so hard and being so embarrassed that I had so many jackal friends, but I was so delighted that that was a term that that you
there, there were a lot of jackals there.
Yeah.
But I look back, I have thought about that party before because, you know, you blew up after that and Amy was just blowing up or about to blow up
yeah.
too at that point. And I was like, how many actually, like, big-time, like, comedy people were at that party that, you know, later became more well-known?
I think it was,
like,
yeah.
It's probably a pretty, I think that was, like, a place to be that night in Hollywood.
It was.
Those are good nights.
That was,
they were
it was
nice.
Good nights. But now yeah. we're here at the Super
Now all
Bowl.
The fun's gone. Now we're left with reality.
Yes.
Sold.
Now
yeah. You're past the hump
yeah.
now.
We're in this, so if you haven't heard the hum of, like, a bunch of people behind us, that is... We're in like
we're not
one of
an
these
airport.
Big what is this?
This
like
is a convention, center at Mandalay Bay mm-hmm. in the MGM World.
Set the scene, Brian.
This is the Super Bowl Media Day, which happens one day before the Super Bowl every year as part of a huge week of media events. And nobody from the actual teams that are playing in the Super Bowl is here today. They're all practicing.
They were here a couple days ago,
but,
though,
right? Yeah, prior to today, they were here.
Yeah. That, a lot. Now I feel weird. There is some information to clarify on that.
You guys, Greg, you know, I mean, I'm just
please. Dan.
I'm not around the NFL.
Well,
it's not quite media day, actually. There was media night opening at like in a basketball arena, and now this is every radio show, every TV show, Radio Row. It's
Radio
known
Row.
As,
is it not part of the Media Day franchise?
No, that has now been spun out into its own universe.
Oh, okay.
And they do it at its at the basketball arena. But this is where everyone comes for the week, and all the guests funnel through here, and you have to do interviews. You guys might be doing some today. It's like before you actually can have a human conversation. It's like, so why do you like Bounty towels so much? And then they go into a, you know, 20-minute prepared statement. Yes. So you gotta
there is a lot of Bounty
that.
Towels yeah. here.
Yes, there were. I was offered some and walking by, and someone just was like, they go, do you want this? And it was like, is that a napkin? And it was a Bounty napkin. But they go, no, it's chicken wings. And I go, I'm vegan. And they go, we have celery. That's
yeah. not. You haven't lived until, like, Kirk Cousins tells you, I can't throw a party with chicken wings unless I have my Bounty paper towels.
Oh, my God.
All right, Kirk.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about him.
Well, yeah.
I went on a media tour. I did a spot for some kind of gum, Trident, Dentine or something way back when, and just did a series of online commercials. And then they had me do, like, a media day to go talk about mm-hmm. those commercials. And I didn't know what it would really be, but one of those interviews ended up being in the Taylor Swift documentary because
that was for the gum?
For Dentine
Ice. Are you fucking kidding me?
So I sat down with this guy and he's like, tell us about, what do you think about Taylor Swift? It was a BuzzFeed
thing.
Just a one-off thing, and I just mouthed off, and then that ended up being in her documentary.
Oh, that fucking calamity was because of Dentine Ice?
And I had really bad pit stains during it, and I thought it was like such a nothing interview, so I was just kind of making fun. I was like, you guys, I am pit stained out. So I did the whole interview like bent over like this because I called it out initially and I was like, this is so bad. So I was like doing the interview literally like this. So I'm like, she just has too many model friends. She's too skinny. Like I was just, so the clip, I just look ridiculous as I should because I shouldn't have done that.
But
this is a lesson, Dan. I don't know if you are like a little bit tight-lipped about maybe your opinions about some things when it comes to like a TV show you watch or a movie you watch. But I just saw a clip of Tina Fey this morning talking to Las Culturistas, which is a podcast on the iHeart network, the Big Money Players, which we're a part of. She was talking to them about how you can't have opinions about things anymore. If you want to be one of those, if you want to be a tastemaker, you can't go off about Saltburn because you might work with someone who made Saltburn. And then Io from, I don't know her last name, she was in The Bear. Mm-hmm. She did SNL mouthed off about J-Lo. Right. Did you see that? She talked about J-Lo. She's now eating crow because she said this thing. Right. And I was just like, I have so many things to haunt me in the future if I work with impressive people because I do have opinions about things. And so you just have to get like, you have to just not talk anymore about what you really feel.
No, what you do, you say whatever you want. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. If you might work with them in the future.
But like you could work with anyone in the future. Like, you could host SNL with anyone.
Yeah. Well, what if you say something negatively about a football player?
We had a memorable thing for us when we were kind of, the podcast was getting going. We were starting to get an overseas following. We were like, oh, we can actually maybe go to London and have a trip and maybe do a live show. And we were so excited about it.
Yeah.
And then it was a wretched boss. He was just mean.
Jackal.
A jackal. The term in the dictionary would be right next to him, like this person. Anyway, so we did kind of like a bit on the show making fun of J.J. Watt's new clothing line.
Oh, no.
That's right. I even dipped my voice because like, I hope he doesn't hear it.
I know.
I don't want to get in trouble again.
You like inadvertently cracked just then.
Yeah, and his manager heard it and like put it up the flagpole in NFL. And this boss said, you know what? You're not going to London now. And then had someone from the desk do a transcription of the podcast and basically read it out to us like we were little boys. Now, it's not exactly what you're saying, but that's in general, especially it. What you do with podcasts, like you're just speaking like off the cuff and you kind of end up parking yourself in dangerous cul-de-sacs.
You just don't feel like people will hear it. Like there's something, and that's what I think the joy, the appeal is of a podcast, is it feels so personal. It feels like you're kind of in the room with people, fly on the wall, listening in on a conversation.
That's why I gotta have Diamond Players Club.
Yeah, we have like one podcast that's like has a paywall behind it, and that's where we really talk some shit.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
and nobody can ever like put that on the surface.
Yeah. No, they could
never. It's behind
a
paywall. Yeah,
I don't think that JJ Watt's agent could afford the $5 a month to find that information.
But yeah, but then if you just like everything, that's so
boring. Then you're boring. It's a tough spot.
You gotta pick a few enemies.
Yeah, you gotta pick some things that you don't like. But I'm also willing to admit that I can change my opinion about things very quickly. Like Travis Kelce, I had a total turnaround. I was really annoyed with when he made the friendship bracelet and got all those headlines about making the friendship bracelet.
Well, it was a grab.
I thought it was
a fame grab or
something. Yeah, because I didn't know who he was. I didn't know his intent, and I didn't know he actually wanted to date her and like was a fan and was going to the show as a fan. And then I did a whole 180 because not only did I think that was so tacky at first and so lame and like, who do you think you are that she would even meet you after a show?
Sure.
She doesn't meet anyone. She has to preserve her voice. She's doing 3 sold out shows where she does 3.5 hours of singing constantly. She's not on the sidelines ever. She's the whole thing. And you are like, she didn't get to meet me afterwards. That's not fair. I was like, everything about this I hate. Like, why do you think she would ever meet you? And then she ends up dating him. And I remember the rumors and I was like, no, because I've been so vocal about how annoying that was. But then I totally turned around because he pursued her hard. And, you know, like that is actually the cool thing about it is that he had the confidence and the
like a white man in the
chutzpah.
50s.
Yeah.
He just went after it, didn't let up.
It's probably like Don Draper courting the substitute teacher. And like it was just he was going to make it happen. He was so driven by it.
Yes. And I just thought it was cute. And he wasn't scared to look stupid. I thought at first it was like, I want to look cool. But the truth was, he was not scared to look stupid, and that's such an attractive thing, and really only something that someone who's so successful can do.
I think there was a strategy there, too. Like, he kind of, because this is a guy that's, his whole life, it's been green lights. He deserves it. He's a charismatic, good-looking guy, star athlete.
Well, he had some problems in high school.
He did.
What?
Well, I know he had, in college at Cincinnati, I know he had some
He almost
issues.
Got cut from the team, and then his brother came
weed
and saved
stuff
him.
And,
whoa, yeah. Okay.
But I think the aw shucks thing was a new one in his playbook, because Taylor was bigger. And one thing I want to say, because I like the pairing too, and I think it's authentic, and I hope they go the distance. But you ever think about the old tweets though?
I think about those Travis tweets. Yeah.
Can we talk about the tweets just a little bit?
Okay,
we've swept them under the rug now.
We really forgot about them. And sometimes they get referenced.
I'm not aware.
Squirrel, the way he spelled squirrel gets referenced a lot.
She's very
I think.
Smart, like sophisticated.
He spelled
woman.
She's a squirrel wrong?
Poet. Yes. You know, like she doesn't fuck around. She doesn't mince words. She doesn't. Yes. It's. And
check it out. It's.
His tweets are.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just think back, they were 10 years ago. And he was just probably getting a little bit of a following. Mm-hmm. He was excited about it. And it was a different time where we would be like, hey, I'm about to eat a sandwich. Like, we would just tell
that
people
era,
that kind of stuff. But now we look back and we go, that's so mundane. Why would you tell people
now
that?
Now you got to video it. You can't just write it.
It's a wild spelling, though, of squirrel. Just wild.
Yeah, it was, I think there's a W in it.
S-Q-R.
There was like a Z.
He really couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it was it's really.
It wasn't dropping an R.
It's kind of cute.
It was a little bit more.
Oh, wow.
And some of those. Yeah, I think he made fun of some people in those, but I don't think there was a single person who didn't make a fat joke
sure,
on Twitter
that's
back
okay.
10 years ago.
I'm saying it's not a deal breaker for me, but I do think about it sometimes.
How could you not? How could you not? And how could she not? But
Travis Kelce is not going out there
humbling for him.
Trying to say that he's some kind of academic genius. No. So like he's a football player.
I even like.
You can't spell squirrel. That's fine.
He got asked, like, what's your favorite song of hers?
Yeah.
And like. Okay, so you don't know, you probably don't know her discography, but
if you were dating
Taylor Swift, okay, so if you were answering that question about someone who everyone knows is your girlfriend, what would you say? Like, what is the kind of song you would pick to say that answer?
I would go with like a romantic deeper cut, right?
Exactly. You would go with a deeper cut.
Mm. I'd pick one that's not connected to one of her past loves. You'd have to be strategic about it. Yeah.
That's tough.
He went with Antihero, which I think is
a little surfacey.
It might be his favorite song, so maybe it just might be the truth, but it's a little lazy. It's like when I was working with the Backstreet Boys, and I so sad about this moment. It was two Decembers ago, but then Nick Carter got in some trouble and they shelved the Christmas special.
Oh, bummer.
There was a resurfacing of some kind of incident that happened
Woof.
With him
Woof.
20 years prior, and they go,
he
we can't.
Squirrel wrong.
Some jackal behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Real jackally. And so they shelved it, but I was, they asked me, we were doing like an, just a, we were improvising this scene, and they were like, and I was pretending to be a huge fan, but I'm not right. or whatever. And they go, what's your favorite song? And I really wanted to like think of a good one, but I just was like, Backstreet's Back.
Oh, no,
I couldn't
no.
think of anything. And later on,
is that
I go,
even the
man,
name of the song?
Show me the meaning of being lonely. Like,
yeah, you
so,
go a little deeper.
Like, it's
yeah.
just, it's so embarrassing to say the thing that everyone knows. And I thought he could have come up with a better one than that. But maybe that really is his favorite song, Antihero. I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that Brian and I belong here today. I was thinking as I have
That's
a
right.
trouble feeling like, why
Imposter
I keep
syndrome.
Saying why am I here because I don't I just learned mm-hmm. about football this year and I've been kind of like scared of it beforehand and I feel out of place and I still do, but Brian reminded me that we have a podcast where he is a huge football fan
yes.
and I'm the biggest Swiftie and this is really the Kismet. Culmination of those two things.
We've been talking about
be.
Football all year. The fact
because
that Chiefs are in the Super
it.
Bowl.
That's pretty good.
So it did work out.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm here, but it makes sense that you're here.
No, I'm so glad you're here. You need to be here for the, you're my spine.
Right.
You hold
and
me
also,
straight.
To help you, Nikki, this will make you feel better.
Please.
Zaire Franklin is a great deep cut jersey to wear.
That's
in
right.
That's what he's
of,
wearing right now.
Yeah. To, so that shows, that gives you legitimacy. It's like, oh, if do the
I'm
podcast
with
the guy in the Franklin jersey.
That's right. If Zaire Franklin didn't get injured for one game this year, he would have been the leading tackler in the NFL.
Okay.
He's now
Dan,
second.
Dan, do you want to yeah. respond to that?
I'm saying that's great. Like he could have went with a he could have went with an Andrew Luck old jersey uh-huh. or Peyton Manning
yeah.
or Marvin Harrison, but going deep cut of a linebacker, that shows that you're with somebody that knows ball. So everybody, because I get imposter syndrome here too, because it's basically everybody in my industry that knows more than me about football is all here at the same time.
Yeah.
So just like, all right, whatever. Like,
now, how do they know more than you about football? Like, just in terms of like
it's such a well, we were talking about it on our
so
other
advanced,
show.
Yeah.
He's only around the NFL. They're in
right.
the NFL,
right? In the vicinity of football.
Right. Sorry,
but no, like the football, the sport is so nuanced that even people like me who follow it, unless you really have an eye for it and or you're like a tape dog and really dig into the minutia mm-hmm. of it, it's kind of a gate. There's a little gatekeeper
totally.
Nature to it. And
it's
I'm
like
not,
Swifties.
I'm not one of those people. I like yeah. the game for the storylines and I just drive the conversation. And I love football and I can't wait for Sunday, but there's different levels to knowing the game, which
yeah.
is why how intimidating it could be for someone from the outside to try to learn the game. I guess there's so much.
So advanced. Yeah. It's like learning Mandarin. I really don't. And you look around, you go, how can so many people understand this? It really confounds me, but it's nice to hear that there's different tiers and that you also feel intimidated. I think it's exactly like it is to be a Swiftie. Because there are some Swifties that are mm-hmm. very familiar with her work and they go, I don't want to go to Eras because it's, I don't know every word to that song. I don't know all I didn't memorize the Cruel Summer Bridge. I don't belong. But it's like, no, we can all get along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NFL wants more fans, so they're happy that
I think
anybody,
they're going to be okay.
I think yes. they're going to be okay. Dan Hanses, thank you so much for being here with us to start out this
thank
day.
You.
It's really feels good.
Very fun.
To have a friend here.
Happy to be here. And just to show my Swift bonafides.
Yeah.
Delicate is my favorite Taylor Swift song.
Oh.
That's mine.
Wow. No, get out of here.
It's top five. It's one of the best
friends.
Ever. Have yeah. you seen the music video?
Yeah. Oh,
it's
I love the video.
Incredible.
Yeah.
One of her best videos ever.
I loved
okay.
it.
Well, this is a great way to end this segment. Thank you so much, Dan Hanses, from Around the NFL. Listen to his podcast. I was on it this today.
Check
so
it
check
out
that episode, and we'll be right back after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We're here live from the Super Bowl a couple days before it, and we have two special guests. I'm sure they have no idea what they're on right now. They're just making the rounds, but I'm so
they're
happy to have you.
They're huge fans of the Nikki Glaser Podcast. They listen every week. They've been saying that.
They are the co-hosts of the Second Axe Podcast on the NFL Podcast Network. It is Charles Peanut Tillman and Roman Harper. Thank you so much for being here, you guys.
We like to clap for people.
Sorry, I didn't clap for you.
It's all good.
Because words matter.
They really do.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Hand words matter.
And you know what? Let me just go ahead and say it, because Nikki, I'm a big fan of yours. I watch you all the time on YouTube.
Really?
I think you're hilarious.
Thank you.
You talk about, I said it.
Naughty things.
You talk about naughty things, and you own it.
And you own it.
I love it. I think it is absolutely hilarious. And you're awesome.
I think it's a brain disorder that I'm able to do that. Because people are shocked by the things I say, and I don't know why that it doesn't register me that it's shocking sometimes, but I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm looking at you in real life. I'm like, she ain't really do all that.
The thing is, I do. That's the thing. People don't.
I'm looking at me like, she ain't
I'm
do
not
all that.
Like a. I'm not like very promiscuous, yeah. But because I'm not outside of a relationship, and when I'm not drinking, and I haven't drank for 11 years, but yeah, I've got some history of that stuff, and. I just, when I have done it, the naughty stuff, I'm paying attention so that I can talk about it as if, and then the way I talk about it,
right.
It could be one time I've done it, but in the way that I talk about it, it sounds like, oh, she must do this all the time. But I'm just paying attention during that one time. I could have really only had sex one time and made four specials about that.
Give me an episode I need to listen to.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. I do roasts, and then I have comedy specials.
Okay.
Where, yeah.
Just, I want to hear the dirt. Oh,
I got you.
Episode 2.
I got you.
Season 3.
Okay. Yeah, you need the timestamp. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
How are you guys doing? How's this day for you?
We've been pretty chilling right now.
Yeah?
Yesterday was they got us good yesterday. We must have did about 8 or 9 podcasts.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. We were cracking them things out like a conveyor belt back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh my. How long you guys been doing Second Act for?
This is our second season. This is my third season. It's his second season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that good that first year, so they needed me. And so I've completely upgraded him, and we're good now.
And are you guys friends from before the podcast?
No.
Played together?
I literally just met him this year.
Wait, weren't you guys teammates on
he's
the Panthers?
Lying. Yeah. He's lying. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. You were teammates on the Panthers.
So we're teammates on the Panthers.
Yeah.
I made him better when I went to that team because we went to a Super Bowl that year when I got there.
That is
true. I upgraded him.
That is true. I would say this, though, is real funny because Peanut and I first met at like this Christian conference, like way back in the day.
What was it called?
PAO.
PAO.
And he thought I was way older. And he still thinks.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, but clearly I'm not. I mean, just look at it.
It is a good look. Because you
dress like someone's grandfather right now. You got a turtleneck on, yeah.
You are wearing a turtleneck. It is cold in here, though. It's cold in Vegas this weekend.
Yes, it is very cold.
But you have gray hair.
Yeah, and I've had it since I was young, so.
I just heard that. Someone told me to ask you about it, and I was like, does he really want to talk about that? But I want to talk about it. When did you get gray hair?
So I got my first gray hair when I was going into the eighth grade. My barber told me.
Holy cow.
And he was, you know, I was always told if you cut
stress
it out.
Stress at eighth grade.
You know, like two of them grow.
Social studies really getting
me. And so then as I got older and I played more ball, I got, you know, got to the league. Everybody's like, you're ever going to dye your hair? I'm like, I can't dye it because the people that know me would feel like, man, you done got up here and changed on them.
How much money did I try to give you when? Yeah. I used to try to pay him thousands of dollars to dye his hair. And he was like, I can't. I just can't do it. I was like, I will give you $5,000 right now.
I would love to have some
for Halloween. For Halloween, I'll give you 5 G's right now, Roman, to dye your hair black.
Yeah.
Beijing.
And he wanted, it wasn't even long. He's like, do it for like 2 or 3 days. I'm like, no.
He was like, I can't do it.
It's so refreshing because it's just too much upkeep. And you are just who you are. And you've never had shame about it. And it makes you more confident to be a guy that has gray hair and has no problem with it and isn't trying to deny it. Is like the coolest look you can have.
Well, it is. You blend in with your coat.
I appreciate that, dog. Thanks,
it's
dog.
Gray so and
blue.
Nice.
Gray and blue, gray
is it
and
run
blue.
In your family to have gray hair that young?
You know, in all honesty, yes and no. But like my mom dyes her hair, but I think she's like all gray.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, mom.
She don't
sorry,
count. Mom. She don't count. She don't count. Moms don't count.
Yeah.
Moms don't count.
Dummy, what you doing?
And then my dad too, he's got gray. But like they're older, so they're supposed to. But
yeah.
I got it way earlier than everybody else in
it's
my family.
Cool.
He was just a stressful kid.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's what it is. Now, did you guys become friends on the team? And like you can't be friends with everyone on your team. Did you guys gravitate towards each other? And like was there a moment where you're like, oh, this is gonna be my dude?
Well, we had met at PAO.
Oh, that's right. You met at
met at this Christian conference. We met at PAO.
How old were you guys then? PAL.
I was probably 27.
I was probably 29.
Yeah, I got it. Whatever. You guys are already in the league. This
we're
is a Christian
in the
conference.
League.
This is like a kids thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we hang out, kick it, whatever.
Yeah. But we weren't like cool like that.
Yeah. So really? Then fast forward 2015, I'm there. I'm like, oh yeah, Rome's there. And then we just kind of. We were the two oldest DBs in the room.
For sure.
Okay.
We were two OGs.
Oh, my God.
We're so I think
complete OGs.
I think for that was why we bonded the most. We were the two oldest guys in the room.
And then Peanut's the guy in the room, and he's such a professional now, but in a meeting room session, like, he's the worst. Because he, like, something crosses his mind or somebody does something weird, he just blurts stuff out.
I'm the male version of you.
Yeah, that's great.
And so he, like, it's just bad. Like, coach is saying something really serious. It's, like, positive and, like, all this motivational stuff.
Yeah.
And Peanut's, like, just something, like, just random out
totally
of left field. Just
it.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was just, like, all the time. I'm, like, Peanut. Like,
dude. Now, is this under your breath that you're saying these things?
No, I say it out loud.
Very loud.
Do you get in trouble?
No, I don't get in trouble. No,
no,
I don't. And everyone...
They appreciate that.
They appreciate it, and they laugh.
They do.
Yeah.
They just
also,
like,
he brought a fake alligator and, like, scared all the coaches one time. He, like, put it in Ron Rivera's.
Prankster?
Big time.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Big time.
And
big
are
time.
You, like, are these pranks that are, like, you're planning months in advance, weeks in advance, or are you someone that just,
a little,
like, oh,
a little
be
bit
funny
of both.
To shove this guy right now?
A little bit of both.
Into this bush or whatever.
Okay. A little bit of both.
What's a recent one that you're kind of proud of?
Draft. I brought Hank with me. Hank is my rattlesnake. And I brought him with Draft. I have a video. I'll
Wait,
show
you
y'all.
You can have a pet rattlesnake?
Yeah, I got.
It's not real.
I had it.
You're about the fake alligator.
Right now.
I had it in my room at Draft. We was in Kansas City. Rome walks in the room. I got my camera all strategically set up. And he opens the door and he was like, Peanut.
Cause he like
I know you.
I
know you in here.
Yeah, you knew. He was
oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah. I ended up. He's like, oh, dude, you coming?
Because the snake was like right there in the kind of pause.
Yeah.
Like,
the rest of your hair turned gray. From being so scared. Wait, do people have like fear around you because they know that you can bring that kind of stuff? Like, have you ever scarred someone?
Yes, I have scarred someone. Biz, I apologize if I tell this story. No. My neighbor back in like 2006. She was getting ready to get in her, she started her car.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't know, -10 out in January when we were going to
Perfect
Super Bowl.
Time to fuck with someone.
Yeah. It's like 5 a.m. She's going to the city.
You
I'm walking
like
my dog.
You put like 50 snakes in her car?
No. I got in the back
you
seat
got
of her
in the
car.
Back. Oh, God.
Oh, my
I got
God.
In the, I got it. Yeah. I got in the back seat of her car. And then she got in the car, and I jumped out of the back seat and was like, "Ah!"
Oh.
She was shaking, literally, like she had a seizure or something. Like she was shaking, shaking.
She has PTSD.
Yeah, all day. And I didn't learn my lesson. I kept it going. So the next day, she got smart. She got smart.
Hold on. You did it again?
Oh, so check it. She,
this poor girl.
Poor lady.
So she was like 22. She had good lungs. She was good. She had a good heart.
Yeah.
She could take it. She had a good heart. So the next day, she was like, screw it. I'm just going to get in my car cold. She didn't care.
Yeah.
She takes her key, sticks it in the door, and I ran up behind her. I put my hand over her mouth and I said, give me your money.
Oh my God. She could have killed you.
No, she didn't. She did.
She passed out?
Oh, she fainted.
From fear?
She was like, I don't even think she smoked. She smoked a cigarette after that day.
Oh my God.
She's a chain smoker now.
Yeah, she's been in chain smoker. Therapy.
This is bad.
Hey,
now she's gonna get stood up for real. Someone's gonna pull up on her, and she's gonna be like, "Is it Tillman?"
Yeah, she's gonna go. Peanut. Like, no,
be
I'm
afraid. Afraid. Be very afraid.
Have you ever gotten got?
Yes, I have, and he almost got punched when he got me.
Oh yeah. Oh,
exactly. You can scare me, but just don't touch me when you scare me, because I'm a like, whoa, okay, it's a okay. prank. You got me. Ha ha. Hee hee.
Oof. Well, what is the peanut punch? We've been told about that.
Punch is just a. How would you describe it, Ro?
It's a maneuver that Peanut kind of perfected as playing football, where guys, when they're taught to hold the ball high and tight, Peanut learned a way to just, like, even though I'm trying to tackle the ball carrier, I just punch the ball.
Legendary.
And like most people, you're taught to, like, strip at it or rip at it or come from different ways. Peanut just punched it, like, right down, and it just goes straight down.
Yeah.
Now, and people use this.
Oh my God.
People reference it every week in football all over. It was
how
him.
Cool.
If you watch football any weekend of the year, Peanut Tillman will be referenced at some point.
Yes. And it's really cool. And look, I didn't realize it until, you know, he became my teammate. And he's great with his hands. He's always doing different hand combat, different things. Really good with getting off blocks and using his hands. And so our DB coach is like, look, I've been around Peanut. You guys just got to keep running to the ball. He's just going to punch the ball out. We never know when it's going to happen.
Mm.
These guys are always trying to protect it, but he's just really good. Just whenever he's around, just run.
Wow.
And it never failed. Not only that, but it's contagious. So he starts doing it.
Yeah.
Then everybody else just starts trying it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's this opportunity. Pause. He's like, this is a chance you could just punch at the ball. And so everybody practices, and then next you know.
But not everyone's as good at it, though.
No, he's mastered it. He's way better than everybody else.
Oh, my God. What an accomplishment.
I mean, it's pretty cool to invent. You basically invented a new move in the NFL that's now coined after you.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, how many people have that?
I'm so impressed. I wouldn't know that.
I mean, the brotherly shove, which is basically Jason Kelsey's move.
Okay.
It's not named after him, though.
No.
Yeah.
But you got the peanut punch, just named after you.
Completely named after him. And it's not even great examples of peanut punches, but people just say anytime the ball comes out, it's just peanut punch.
I can't wait to hear that and know and say I've
met
the person.
Peanut Tillman.
Who created that. So great to meet you guys. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Appreciate it. I like
Peanut
your shirt.
Tillman, thank you so much.
Is this Dallas Norman Clark? Harper.
Who
no,
you got,
Zaire.
Who you guys taking for the game? Who you guys picking?
I'm Swiftie, so. I want my girl to be happy.
Can I just say this? I think Travis Kelce is the best she's going to ever do. I think she should just go ahead and just get it over
Agreed.
With.
Agreed.
Have a baby. Just move on.
I think it's over.
I think so, too. I tell people this, too. Like,
who's
no.
Lock
I down. Agree. I
she
agree.
Ain't going to find better.
I don't think she's going to find better.
I don't think so either.
6'5", swaggy brother.
She did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a nice guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, he can
she
dance.
Wrap it up, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She ain't dating nobody like that.
I love that. You're calling it exactly as I am. All right. Boom. Thank you guys so much for being here. Check out their podcast. It's called The Second Axe Podcast. You guys are hilarious and so fun. Thank you so much for doing it.
Appreciate it. We're not better than you, though. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Season 2, episode 3.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother,
All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
All right, we're back live from the Super Bowl, Nikki Glaser podcast, and we have with us, I'm so excited because I get really intimidated by sports players, and these guys are, they do not play, they might play sports recreationally.
We play street ball.
But I'm intimidated in a different way, but one that I'm a little bit knowledgeable about, or I'd like to think I am. We have the Avila brothers with us who are, you're performing in the halftime show with Usher?
Yes, we're performing, and we also have produced the halftime show.
Yeah. Yeah. With Jay-Z too as well, right? Isn't he producing
the whole
it?
Crew?
Yeah, yeah, wow. The whole crew. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So he's producing
aspect.
It in a like,
creative aspect.
He's
yeah,
been
yeah.
on one Zoom call in the background. His name's on it. Yeah. That's so cool. So can just to give us a little background about you guys, because I'm sorry I wasn't really familiar, but until now, but you're big deals. Tell us how you got started. How you got?
I know what. How does Will Ferrell say it? Yeah, we're sort of a big...
sort of video.
Yeah, you are.
So we're songwriters and producers. Yeah. And we've been working with Usher for about 20 years now.
Oh my God.
We were introduced to Usher through Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, we call them our musical godfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had a great run here in Vegas. We did the Caesar's Palace residency.
Yes.
We then moved over to Park MGM. And I think that's kind of been the tail of the tape of how we have ended up here at
yes.
Super Bowl. And so Super Bowl 4 months into the process of
4 months ago is when you found out you were doing it, or just that's when you decided to start?
When the wheels started turning.
Okay.
You know, pencil to paper, set list, songs, and all that. And so it's been intense, but you know, we're beyond grateful and ecstatic to be here. And
oh my God,
shout out to that Chiefs shirt you're rocking.
Hell yeah.
We are diehard Chiefs fans.
Why are you Chiefs fans?
So we're Cali boys.
Okay.
My father was a huge Montana fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so when Montana left the 49ers and went to the Chiefs, we followed him.
Yeah.
And
so it's like, so it's the 49ers and Chiefs. It's like,
whoa.
You know, it's like, we don't hate on the Niners, but like, we're Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Chiefs fans.
Oh, that's
and fun. We're not locker hoppers. So we're diehard Chiefs fans. Chiefs. Yeah. Oh, man. In the dumps.
Are you guys going to be able to enjoy the show, though? Because or after the halftime show, is it going to be like a release and then you can enjoy the game?
We're going to do the best we can.
Yeah.
We got TVs and set up in our area. But, you know, we thought, you know, maybe we can sneak away and get in there, you know, get close to a seat or something. But I think we're going to be so focused.
So
on halftime.
Mm-hmm. How's it looking?
Oh, man.
Are you so excited?
We're coming to whip some ass.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. We're coming to whip some
ass.
It's
amazing. And, I was watching, ESPN earlier and, you know, all the first take and all that stuff. And it's like, the Chiefs are the underdogs. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, they've been there a gazillion times.
Right.
And you've seen how they've been able to pivot from the postseason versus now, like where they're at now in the playoffs, yeah. and now Super Bowl. It's like
the fact that they're dogs is crazy. I mean, how could you bet against Mahomes in any circumstance? He just always wins.
He's a winner. And, you know, I think the crazy thing for us is like last year we were trying to figure out if we were going to go to Phoenix and watch the Super Bowl. So I did one of those like kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And Lil Jon was performing at Gronkowski's casino pool party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And just to think we were there last year and now we're going to be on stage and you know, producing the show and being in it. And we got our parents coming. Our kids are coming. And I love your shirt because my daughter's a massive Taylor Swift fan. Yeah. So she's a Swiftie for sure. She's like knows where she was born, all the songs, her mom's name, you know, all those YouTube trivia. She's got it down.
Oh, that's cool.
So her birthday in December was like a Swiftie party. So I'm glad she's going to be here.
Oh
my son.
God, she's going to get to be here for, so excited.
I attribute like our journey in music and how powerful music and how great music has been to us. To where we're at now. And that part of it is really, truly exciting. Like walking around here and, you know, we were introduced to you guys. It's like, we're iHeart. And it's like, I think I've heard of you guys. And to meet you guys, it's like, it's a tribute to how powerful music is. And that's just the realness of being on the ground and being here and a part of the experience. And, you know, it's not the Grammys. We love the Grammys. It represents, you know, music at a high level, but there's nothing like the Super Bowl and the halftime show.
The biggest show on earth.
And as Mexican Americans would be like, yeah, we're producing it and we're there. It's a testament to how powerful your dreams can take you and how powerful hard work is and where your gift can make room for you.
Where are you guys standing right now, though? Okay, we're 2 days out. It's Friday. The game is Sunday. The show is Sunday. Do you have more rehearsal time? Is it locked in place what you're doing? I actually know the editor who edited my special is editing the Super Bowl halftime show. The director of the Super Bowl halftime show, Hamish Hamilton, was my director. I'm friends with him. But he was telling me, you know, the rehearsals, like, this has been going for 4 months to prepare for this. It's the biggest show. Is there still tweaks to be made?
Well, Iz even answers, I stop looking at my phone and I just ask him out, what are we doing today? Because it's been crazy. So,
you know,
so many
last minute changes. No, I'm just going to say, it's not even about that. It's at the end of the day, as creatives, it's perfection. It's the process of perfection.
Yeah.
You know, when we started this thing, we had two targets we wanted to hit, and that's Prince and Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where we want to be, and we want to make sure we land in between those two names.
So how are you going to get it to rain inside the stadium?
I know. That's, so we had a conversation with God, but the stadium's closed.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
So
that's the bar for us.
Do you feel competitive with other halftime shows?
Yes, you got
to.
I mean, this is,
right?
You know, and I always tell people, like, Usher is a musical athlete.
Yeah.
You know, the process of that he's taken throughout the years to maintain his knees and his movement and his flexibility and his voice.
His voice. Yeah.
You know, he's
that
a true man.
Here.
He's a true student of the craft. And I think when you're around somebody like that, that represents greatness, it spills over into other departments. And I think that's what also fuels our inspiration.
Yeah.
Is by looking at how much of a student he is of music and the greats that he constantly studies. And so, yeah, it's like, yo, it's balls to the wall. It's all or nothing.
Is he someone that is, is he very calm within all of this? Because he's just been doing it for so long. Is this something, it obviously matters enormously to him, but is it something that he's just like, yeah, I belong.
He's a racquetball in a racquetball room. That ball is just like, painting.
Really? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere. You know, there's so many parts and elements of him as a creator that he don't sleep. It's all in his DNA.
Really?
He's
just built for it.
Guys.
Yeah. I like what Rihanna said. I saw a really dope clip of Rihanna when they were asking her about, you know, Usher in the Super Bowl. And to her point, it's really what he was built for.
Yes.
He was built for that stage.
Really, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
This is his moment that's been a long time coming.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be, there's just so many Usher songs that you know, but you don't remember that you know till you hear them. I think it's going to be one of those moments where culturally we're just like, people that are like, what's this going to be? They know every freaking song.
Right.
He's going to blow us away with dancing. Yeah. He's going to look so timeless, so youthful.
He mentioned all the names.
But also like youthful, but with the experience behind it too. I think it's just going to be such a perfect. He's just the perfect person to do it, and it's. Yeah. I know he's gonna kill it.
Yeah,
and with your guys' help.
And I think too, you know, what he's gonna represent is something that we don't see a lot of anymore in entertainment, right? Somebody that we know is gonna sing in key,
yes, uh-huh.
dance his ass off,
yes,
and the true element of entertainment.
Yes.
You know, he represents that. That's his cloth, and so, you know, when you get to put that, you know, on a microscope, which is the Super Bowl stage. I mean, it's. I think it's going to inspire even new fans.
Yeah, that's our goal, right?
That is
to take
it.
Like
absolutely.
We talked about it. Like not everybody that's watching the Super Bowl is an Usher fan, and our goal was to give the viewers an experience that allows them to embrace him in a way that he's never been embraced.
It's going
to
be insane.
And to create new fans.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to look at his followers before and after because there's going to be a gigantic bump.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are just who don't know are going to find out, and people who are just young and have never known, it's going to be awesome. So.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like that's a great defining kind of like bar just to like see, you know, where he's at now. I'm going to actually do that.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing to look at
before really
and after because people are going to lose their minds about it. I just know it's going to wake some people up that haven't either been sleeping on him for a decade or so since, you know, he was culturally everywhere. And then the new generation of people who have never, you know, are too young to have known what he, when he was really like peaking, he's peaking, he's going to peak again. It's just, it's so exciting.
Yeah. It's a great moment for him. For
yeah.
Sure.
Well, I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank
what's
you.
Your, what's your self-care journey up until Sunday? Are you going to do anything?
Focus and enjoy the process, you know, because sometimes as creatives you get so in the weeds on it that you wake up the next day after it's done and it's like, oh man, I didn't get to really absorb it, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm like the dude that's like, god man, put your phone down and I'm like
yeah.
I'm everywhere. Like, just being here, the energy here. Like,
it's
and me
great.
And you guys, like, it's like.
It's cool.
But I literally went to bed about 4 o'clock in the morning. We had an incredible event just for the dancers and the whole production staff.
Fun.
And then it's like, okay, we got to hit this. And just to be here, it's like, I'm glad I haven't had
later.
My first meal yet. I'm like, this is
God.
It. I'm taking it.
It sounds like you guys are doing a really good job of appreciating the moment.
I'll be thinking about you guys tomorrow and celebrating for you when it's finally over, because I know that relief of something you've worked so hard, and when it's finally done, like, you're going to have the best second half of the game tomorrow.
The one thing about the Super Bowl halftime shows, right, are you have to, you can go back to YouTube and always look at it and view it over and over again.
It's going to be a legacy moment. Always. I can't wait. Congratulations.
Thank you
so much. For stopping by. What an
thank
honor
you for
to
having
meet
you.
Yeah,
thank
you guys
you.
Were incredibly fun.
Thanks.
Man, thank you for taking the time.
Of
and
course.
Go KC, right?
Yeah, right?
Go KC.
We'll be right back after this. Final thought. What's
pretty
up?
Pretty surreal.
Pretty surreal? Are you like losing your mind? You keep looking around and saying,
well, there's
that's...
people. Yeah, I keep looking around going, that's blah, blah, blah. And you go, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Roger Askew. And I go, I don't know who that is. But yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, Benedict Falafelon.
Yeah.
There's Steve Smith is doing interviews behind us. Steve Smith's one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. And he's also a personality, a halftime host guy.
Yes, I know him from that thing that he does.
He was interviewing Bijan Robinson, who was the number one running back draft pick in last year's draft on the Atlanta Falcons. And he also has his own brand of mustard, a Dijon from Bijan.
No way.
It would have been fun to talk to him about that. Maybe we'll get him on.
Yeah, we have one more show to do.
Yeah, we have one more show to do still. But yeah, it's pretty well. And then Allie has her fantasy football trophy.
Brian's wife is here.
My wife is here with us.
And she won for the first time in 10 years.
It's been over 10 years.
Over 10 years, her family has a fantasy football league, and she won, and she has a trophy that she won.
That's right. When you win, you get to have the trophy for the year, like the Stanley Cup. It's passed around. I've won twice. I've only been
in
the
league. Okay.
The first year I joined it, I won.
You're good.
Joined the family. Won the league in the first year, and then won again 2 years later. But this year, it was terrible. But we have this trophy, and they're all from Chicago, and they're Chicago Bears fans. And so her brother, who is the commissioner of the league, has been going around getting signatures of Chicago
commissioner
athletes.
Commissioner of the league.
That's a thing in fantasy football. The person who runs the league is called the commissioner.
I see why people do it. You get to be called commissioner at some point.
Commissioner.
That's an amazing title to have.
Yeah.
You're
my microphone's going...
Need some Viagra.
One of the Avila brothers... Unscrewed it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's going around getting signatures from people. He's gotten Scottie Pippen. He's gotten Matt Forte, who's a Bear. He's gotten Brian Urlacher, who's a famous Bear. And so now Allie was like, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I bet you I can get some signatures of Bears. And she also just happened to win the league this year, so she has the trophy.
She had the trophy sent to her, and it was $250 to ship.
She had to get it shipped overnight in order to get it here in time for the Super Bowl.
And she carried it in, and I go, what's that? And she was like so embarrassed. And I was like, no, that's so cool. And yeah. She got it signed by Peanut?
She got it signed by Peanut Tillman,
yes.
Who is a legendary Chicago Bears defensive player.
Amazing.
And then she just got it signed by DJ Moore, who's the number one wide receiver
I'm
on the
so
Bears
happy
right
for
now.
Her.
She's losing her mind.
She keeps saying, why am I here? I can't believe I'm here. And I'm like, no, this makes sense that you're here more than, you should be here more than anyone.
She's a fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's so excited. And yeah, it's nice to be around her energy.
Yeah,
she's
no.
like at she's it's like she's at a Taylor Swift concert with like yeah. how excited she is about everything.
That's how it is with in life with me. It's just like I'm just like not happy with anything, and she's
and she's
floating
delighted
around
by
like
things
a,
all the time.
Yeah,
is that
she's
kind of her
delighted.
Demeanor? Yeah, she yeah. is. Does she ever get like sad and pissed off and like really moody and like?
Oh
like,
yeah.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
So she can
all
be a little
time.
Bit okay
yeah.
irritated and
yeah.
Grumpy.
When she gets irritated, she'll like start yelling and. Pounding her fists.
Good.
And, she makes a noise, and I go, well, what's the matter? She'll make a really loud noise. She won't even realize. She makes
yes.
a lot of noises.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's good. And you know what? I make noises, too, and it's usually to get people to go, what's wrong?
Yeah. No, that's what I, you know, that's how I feel, and I bring it up to her all the time. It's like, are you, like, when people generally make noises and stuff like that, they don't even realize it. It's subconsciously. They just
yeah.
want someone to come by and
go,
like,
hey,
give them a hug. Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Totally. That's.
They want people to know how much they're suffering.
Yes. I've started asking for hugs recently.
Yes.
Because it's just let's get to what I want to do. Let's get to what
just
I need
skip
right
all
now.
The what's going on and
yes.
get the hug.
Let's just get to the hug. Yeah.
Hugs help.
They so do.
Yeah.
People need to hug more. I just hugged one of the Vila. I hugged the Vila brothers on the way in before the interview started.
Yeah.
And then on the way out, we went for a handshake, and I felt like did our relationship crumble during that interview? it's weird to know what to go in for, and especially as a woman that wears makeup, all I think about is how I'm going to get makeup on their shirt.
Uh-huh.
I was on Dan Hansen's shirt. I saw my makeup on his shirt, and he has no idea because he doesn't know to look for it because he's. But men should know to look for that
if you touch a woman.
If you touch a woman who looks better than you think her to look in that moment, you're going to have a scuff of tan on
yeah.
your shoulder blade.
Didn't you have that joke about sleeping on your pillow and then you'd wake up and then
and there's like looks like your pillowcase had gone through a color run the night before. There's like colors on it you didn't even know were in makeup. Yeah, so we're waiting on more guests. We'll see what happens. We
so
have another show to do.
We're at the Radio Row, but we're also in Las Vegas. And
yes,
I have
are.
To say, I forgot how much I love Vegas.
It's amazing.
I love gambling. I talk
well,
about this all the time.
What,
why would I not?
It's going to be after the apocalypse.
Yeah. Where
it's
I have to be in convention
be,
centers talking
yeah,
to Peanut Tillman.
Yeah, just all inside.
Yeah.
People like robots.
Yeah.
Things just curated perfectly. I hope this is what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the
in
best
perfect,
case scenario.
In the best case scenario, yes.
Worst
yes.
case scenario. But so before we came on for this episode, I wanted to gamble a little bit.
Yes, you did.
And
with the encouragement, yeah, we were like, I wanted to watch you gamble. I feel safer watching it.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of it, but I don't know the rules about watching it either. I felt like bad being behind you
no,
at the Black Hat Jack
everyone
table.
Everyone loves an audience.
An audience. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
People feel so cool because you feel like a king.
You do.
Because when you don't have to say hit, you don't have to say stay, you just make a
yeah,
hand
just,
movement and then the person does what you
stay.
Want.
Stay. No, to hit.
Tap is to hit.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Playing,
I
this is in Blackjack.
That.
So
blackjack,
we're playing
yes.
Blackjack, taps to hit.
And you just.
You can just do like no.
No,
to,
you wave your hand over
if
it
they
to
don't,
say.
Yeah, if you don't want anything. And then you don't even have to say you want to split.
Tell
you just split the you just put your money
people
down.
People are adding up these numbers so quickly.
Well, some of them
I was
aren't.
Watching the guy next to you. He's getting a 2, a 4, a 7. Like
that guy seemed like a pro.
It was really hard for me to compute all that. I'm not a complete idiot.
He was playing with $100 chips, too. He wasn't messing around.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay.
But I wanted to gamble a little bit. I even asked. I said, do you want to watch me gamble?
Yes.
It's just we had 15 minutes to kill.
Yep. That was exactly what I wanted to do.
And I was trying to find a blackjack table, and the only blackjack tables available were $50 minimum.
I know.
So I was
and
like,
we said, do it.
I was
because easy for
peer
us.
Pressured into doing yeah. it. I was looking for $5 or $10.
And you lost immediately. First
I
two
was
hands.
Like, I gave $300 to the
woman.
To the woman.
The woman.
She's a
the dealer.
But the dealer.
Yeah, the female dealer.
The female. Well, first
the
it was a man. Yeah, so I gave $300. I got that's 50. That's 6 hands. I could lose all my money in 6 hands.
Yeah.
Which would go by so fast.
So fast.
And then my first three hands, I lost.
Yeah,
that was $150.
So $150.
And I'm looking back, I'm like, this is.
And Allie doesn't give a fuck. She goes, she was like, it doesn't matter to me. I just like watching because it's not my money. And I go, aren't you married? Isn't this your money too? But she just didn't care. She had a little bag with a trophy in it. She was happy to watch.
It was crazy how quickly you can just lose all your money.
It's so fast, but it was so fun. But then you got it back.
I was wondering. I was like, this isn't even gonna last the 15 minutes we need to kill. I'm gonna lose all my money. Yeah. We're gonna have 10 minutes left.
We were getting to the point where I was like, we have to be there in 5 minutes, and you were still trying to get it back. And I'm like, Brian, 5 minute warning. Like,
I started doubling my bets. Instead of 50, I did 100.
Yeah.
And then my last hand.
So much.
Yeah. My last hand, I got aces, and I split them, and
like
I won the hand.
Three shirts from Zara.
That's right. And I wound up with $345. So $45 up.
And did you
so
tip?
Far? And then I wound up with $350. I tipped $5 because
perfect.
The dealer helped me once. I said hit.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she said, you don't want to hit.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, okay.
That's really helpful.
Yeah, they do that, you know, because they want to get
tips. But
then
tips. Does she owe you $5 if it's wrong?
Yeah, if it's wrong, then they have to give you $5. No.
You wish.
Yeah, no, they'll take your money with
I totally get how it could be addictive, and I kind of want to go gamble now.
Well, that's the thing. Afterwards, even though I won, I felt terrible. I felt like I had just gotten over the flu.
Because it was so anxiety-inducing.
It's
you went through
so
the range
much
of emotions.
Anxiety. It's nothing like sports
gambling. As if you had just
gambling.
Been pranked by Peanut Tillman.
That's right.
I really do think he has scarred that woman for life.
He pretended to be a murderer in her car.
And then he did it again by wrapping his hands around her when she was going to her car. Like, she thought she was going to die twice in one day. And the second time she probably thought it was 100% not him because she thought he wouldn't do this twice. It's so
insane.
That's on her.
I was just pranked yesterday in the same spot. And now someone's holding me up my own driveway. I mean, I think you got to think. She had a seizure
I'm
the first
so glad
time,
I didn't get
and then
too
she
close
blacked
to that
out
guy.
The second
I don't
time.
Want, I don't like pranking. I would. Not, I would. He would be out of my life if I were her. I would have moved away from him. She was his neighbor. But that was such a fun show. We have another one coming up right after this one. So stay tuned for that. It's Brian Frangie and Nikki Glaser live from the Super Bowl. See you next time. Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off. Your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.